Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2008. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Let me now sing of my friend's song concerning his vineyard. My friend had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He spaded it, cleared it of stones, and planted the choicest vines. Within it he built a watchtower and hewed out a winepress. Then he looked for the crop of grapes, but what it yielded was wild grapes. Now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I had not done? Why, when I looked for the crop of grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? Now I will let you know what I mean to do with my vineyard. Take away its hedge, give it to grazing, break through its wall, let it be trampled. Yes, I will make it a ruin. It shall not be pruned or hoed, but overgrown with thorns and briars. I will command the clouds not to send rain upon it. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his cherished plant. He looked for judgment, but see, bloodshed. For justice, but hark, the outcry. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel.
The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel.
A vine from Egypt you transplanted. You drove away the nations and planted it. It put forth its foliage to the sea. It shoots as far as the river.
The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel.
Why have you broken down its walls, so that every passerby plucks its fruit? The boar from the forest lays it waste, and the beasts of the field upon it.
The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel.
Once again, O Lord of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Take care of this vine, and protect what your right hand has planted, the Son of Man whom you yourself made strong.
The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel.
Then we will no more withdraw from you. Give us new life, and we will call upon your name. O Lord, God of hosts, restore us. If your face shine upon us, then we shall be saved.
The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Then the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a winepress in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servant, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'Here, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you ever read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, everybody, and welcome to your Sunday Reader. My name is Deacon Brian, and I'm here today with Matt Nathan.
Hi.
And do you want to tell us a little bit about who you are and everything?
Well, I'm a seminarian from the Diocese of Joliet. I am a fourth-year theology student, and I will become ordained a deacon November 1st and a priest at the end of the school year.
Excellent. So you're a classmate of mine here at Mundelein Seminary and everything, for all of our listening audience. And Dawn, unfortunately, was unable to make it this week to the podcast, so we thank you for taking her place
for us on this
podcast. And just so you know, what we do on the podcast is that we talk about the scripture readings. So one of the things that struck me about the gospel reading today was this whole idea of Jesus, about the parable is kind of about God sending different people out. And you can see how some of these servants that he sends to send out his message could be similar to the prophets that God is continually sending the people of Israel, telling them, please reform your lives, please start doing things better. And of course, they never listen. And finally, he sends his son. And what do? They kill him. And so I think this is Jesus is kind of telling a parable really about salvation history and his own life. But I think for us, one of the things that struck me as I heard this is, how often is it that God tries to send me messages and I either won't hear them or will reject them and things? And how often do I need to become aware of what it is God's saying to me, either be it through the prophets that are around me, you know, my friends, it could be professors here at the seminary or, you know, people in the parish or any number of people, or, you know, how often is it that he's trying to send me a message through events in my lives and I just kind of ignore them and pretend like those messages never came across to me? And so I think that for me was one of the things that kind of struck me is, am I rejecting that stone that is supposed to be the cornerstone kind of thing?
That's similar to what struck me actually in the first reading with the idea of rejection of God, the idea of God sets a good vineyard for us, and instead of bearing good fruit that he would want us to, we end up just bearing wild grapes and other things that just aren't what he designed us to be. I just think of all the selfishness we have and all the things that we do in our own lives that isn't in line with what God would want us to do, the kind of fruit that God would want us to bear, because the first reading is it has so many images of grapes, especially in the vineyard, that God would want for us, and we just continue to reject that invitation to live in his life.
Yeah, one of the things on that first reading, too, that you point to that I like is, it's the way I look at this is it's God's warning to the people of Israel. You know, he says, I've set up this vineyard, and of course, you're not producing the fruit that you're supposed to. I've given you every blessing. And so instead of having this vineyard just for the people of Israel, it's now open to all people, which for the rest of us who aren't born Jewish, that should be really good news for us, for us Christians. But there's still that sense, too, where, like you said, we need to still not just say, oh, well, the vineyard's open and we can go run around and play in it, but we also need to be producing good fruit. And so I think that the challenge really is to ask ourselves, how are we producing good fruit? What is it that we're doing, or are we doing anything to produce good fruit? And I think that can be a real powerful examination for everyone. I think for some people, there are a lot of things that they do, whether it's I engage in a ministry that the parish might offer. Maybe I bring communion to the sick. Or maybe it's just in my daily life at work, you know, I bring good fruit about by, you know, the way I treat my coworkers, the way I treat my family, things like that. But I think that it should be a constant theme that we need to be constantly asking ourselves is, am I producing this good fruit? Because the Lord has been very clear that, you know, if we don't produce good fruit, he'll move to the next people who do produce it. And, you know, you don't want to be left out of that.
Yes, that idea of stewardship does, it's something that plays in my mind a lot, just hearing the, especially the gospel and the first reading, that we are responsible to God for what he has given us, and everything that we have is from God. And so He doesn't trust us with whatever mission we have in our particular life, whether to our families, to our friends, to our workplace, or whatever God position God has put us in at this moment in time. And to be able to accept everything that comes along with it, whether it's the tenants that want, you know, what belongs to the rightful owner, which is God. And sometimes we once again, with the selfishness, we tend to think that, oh, if I hold back the money that I owe to these to the owner, then I think I'll be better off. But God's garden, God's vineyard, he wants us to cultivate it properly and responsibly, and we don't have to hold back anything in order to live in his life. And that's something that, you know, I work on, and I'm sure a lot of other people work on as well.
You brought up something that just got my mind thinking here. You talked about the selfishness and kind of that sense of pride we can take a lot of times too, and saying, you know, I did this or I did this good thing, too. We forget that it's God who works through us, really. He gives us the grace to be able to do the good things that we do. And he's the one who, you said, you know, gives us these gifts, and it's how do we use them and put them to work and everything. And I think that's an important thing. And we also know where the opposite can lead, where, you know, greed and that kind of thing can come in. And if we're not trusting the Lord, or if we're like the tenants who say, well, this is all mine anyway, I want to keep it. It's mine. I worked for it. It doesn't belong to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking about that, the notion of greed. And then, of course, if you look at, I don't know if you follow any of the financial news, or even if you don't, but lately you can just, everybody knows it, even if they don't follow the financial news, that the stock market's been crashing. We're in this financial crisis. And a lot of it comes back to, we've had a lot of people who've acted on greed and have just looked out for themselves and are not looking out for the good of all people. Right. And one of the things that I talk about a lot on this program is how, as Catholics, one of the things that makes us different from what our American values teach us is that our American values kind of teach us that we should be part of this democratic process where the most good for the most people is the best thing. Whereas Catholics, we say it's not the most good for the most people, but the most good for all people. And that's a real difference with us as Catholics, is that you can't say what's good for the most people, but you have to say what's good for everybody, because really we're all in this boat together kind of thing.
And that's really true, especially for those that are vulnerable, or for those that may feel rejected by society, or those that I think of the mentally handicapped, or those that are in nursing homes, those that just are always rejected, and they need someone to look out for them. And that's basically our job. Just the stone that the builder rejected has indeed become the cornerstone. And within our society, the people that are most rejected are usually God's favorite people in the world. And so that's our mission as Catholics, to go out to all people, especially those that are most in need of whatever gifts we could bring to them in their situation. We can't solve all of the world's problems, but God has put us here for a reason, in our position right now, right here, to do something for those that are in need. And I think that it's something that I think all Catholics would definitely influence all of American culture, as you mentioned, by living that way.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, it kind of plays right into Paul's reading to the Philippians, or the Philippines, as it often gets said.
Yes, my mom's from the Philippines, so yes, I love that interpretation.
But St. Paul says, you know, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, just, pure, and gives all these wonderful things. He says, if there's anything worthy of praise about these things, you know, keep on doing them and keep on staying at it. And I think that's one of the things, too, we have to say is sometimes, you know, it's our generosity that we have to look at. It's not our pride and our greed, and it's not a lot of the things that our society values, really, that's true, honorable, and praiseworthy. A lot of times it's the things that make some people say, well, why would you want to do that? Or what's the value in that? Or what's the dollar value in that? You know, like, I'm going to volunteer my time, or I'm going to spend time at a soup kitchen or something. Well, couldn't your time be better spent, you know, working or doing something like that? Or couldn't you be more productive? And I think that's a real tension that we feel as Americans a lot of times, is this productivity versus what's honorable, what's just, what's pure, what's lovely, those types of things. Because those are the things that are from God. And a lot of times, it's not the things that make money in our society. Occasionally, it happens to work that way. But for the most part, a lot of times, that might not be the case. And what we really have to think about is, you know, where are our priorities? And I think that's an important theme for us to know, too, as we grow through this, is it just about making something or producing some sort of a product or making a lot of money or something like that. Because a lot of times that's not really where our priorities should be. A lot of times the fruit that God's looking for from the vineyard are the what they call the intangible things. It's the way we love one another. It's the way we treat one another. It's how do I help somebody else, not what's in it for me.
Yes, I agree that we, most of us in society, we have a distorted notion of what it means to produce good fruit. And going back to the financial example, there's so many times where a financial institution will think to produce good fruit means to put on a good facade for the stock investors or for someone that will invest in their company. And meanwhile, the fundamentals underlying their company, it's going down the toilet. And that's a lot of what's gotten a lot of these banks and a lot of financial institutions in trouble. And instead of looking at that kind of fruit of the facade of the good show or the good image, just to strive for what is honorable, for what is true. By this, the Lord has it this been done, something that is wonderful to the eyes of all humanity, especially those that are most in need.
Well, thank you for joining me this week. We're coming towards the end of our time here. And I thank everybody for listening to the podcast and hope that you'll join us next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.